For years, Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Through deeply reported, narrative-driven stories, we're digging into the myths, scandals, and power structures that still shape the South, and in a lot of ways, the country itself. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
N-Y-Y-S-T. Hold up, why do they doubt the kid? I'm about to prove them all wrong again. I got a low tolerance, cause they don't even know where the problem is. It's me. You waiting on the boy to fail, then hold your breath and face your death. Cause you play the roulette with each step, I progress no less. Go ahead and place your bets, cause we know where we at, we know we top tier. Cause all the hate that you bring, we know it stops here. I'm taking off like a rocketeer and stopping here. It's strange how they cannot see the future, but see profit here. Wait up.
Welcome back. This is episode 534 of the NYYST podcast. We're presented by NYY Underground. I am your host, Christian. Now, I wasn't planning on doing an episode of NYYST until Sunday. In fact, after I came on here and did the show, after they lost to Cincinnati on Father's Day Sunday, I didn't even realize it, but we didn't have a show scheduled for NYYST for 2 weeks. Now, peeling back the curtain here a little bit, you all know this is the final season and that I'm doing other stuff on NYY Underground, The Bronx or Nowhere, and I gave that show preference to the schedule of when we would be recording, seeing how this show was ending. And primarily, I'm doing this show on my own, and I have a partner with the other show. So I said, you know what, we'll give that preference. We'll work NYYST around it. So knowing the Yankee schedule, we didn't have a show scheduled from that Sunday until this coming Sunday after the Twins series. Okay, so that was two full weeks because the Yankees had a Sunday night baseball on, last Sunday against the Red Sox. And in fact, we only have a handful of episodes scheduled for NYYST this month. In fact, if I'm looking at the schedule right now, this is one of three NYYST episodes for July. Now, this was not even scheduled. We only have two on the schedule. So you never know when I might pop up somewhere. That's why I always say click subscribe to the NYYST podcast on the podcast platform that you're listening to us on right now. It might be the final season, but you don't want to miss any shows throughout the course of the final season. Now, why are we doing a show on a Wednesday night when I have Bronx or Nowhere scheduled tomorrow? Because I don't like generally to back shows up like that, because primarily you're going to be talking about the same thing over the course of the two shows. Well, after the New York Yankees lose their seventh consecutive game, there is no way I am going to sit here for over 24 hours and let this stew inside of me. The New York Yankees are currently on a seven-game losing streak. We're at the beginning of this losing streak. They were three games up in the loss column to the Tampa Bay Rays. And now, if they lose tonight, they will be five. Five games. If the Rays win tonight, they will be five games behind. The Yankees are currently five games back, if I'm not mistaken. I have to look this up. I'm sorry, guys. I should be a little bit more prepared, but this is what this team does to you. Okay, so currently the Yankees are five games behind the Rays in the loss column in the American League East as we sit here on July 1st. If the Rays lose, it goes back down to four. And we kind of have to hope that the Rays lose, because five, it's starting to get into pretty bad territory here, okay? So the Yankees went from being up a couple of games in the American League East to, if the Rays win tonight, five through the course of an entire week here, okay? So you can say whatever you want here, and I have said this, that as long as the Yankees handle business, the Rays are not going to be a threat to the Yankees. Well, the Yankees haven't handled business. When you go 0-7 through the last seven games, that's not handling business. I like to think of myself as a rational baseball fan where, yeah, in the heat of the moment, you might fly off the handle, say something that you don't mean. It's just like all aspects of life, right? But I like to come down after the emotions and, as you guys know, use this show to kind of work through everything and get to a rational point. And this is where I am right now. This is baseball. We all know the sport. We all know what happens in baseball. Sometimes your hitters are going to get cold. Sometimes your pitchers are going to get hit. That's baseball, Susan. But what you cannot accept as a Yankee fan right now is that the Yankees have handed three of these games away while you are in the throes of a disgusting team slump. You cannot lose the winnable games. And the Yankees have done that three times throughout the course of this seven-game losing streak. In fact, we would have never even gotten on a losing streak had they had just played clean baseball last Thursday in Boston. The Red Sox could not touch Cam Schlittler. The only way the Red Sox were winning that game is if the Yankees handed it to them on a silver platter, and that's exactly what the Yankees did, because the two runs the Yankees put up while Schlittler was in the game was more than enough run support than Cam Schlittler needed against the Red Sox on that night. But the Yankees said, no. We saw the Mets make six errors last night. Watch what we can do here, okay? So that was that. And then whatever happened on Friday and Saturday, Warren and Cole did not pitch well. But yeah, you want to look at what happened to Gerrit Cole on Saturday. He gives up four runs over the course of the first couple innings, settles in, gets into the sixth inning. Giving up four runs should not be a death sentence for the New York Yankees. But it was. Then you go to Sunday night, trying to avoid a four-game sweep to the last-placed Boston Red Sox. And who comes to the mound but old pal Sonny Gray. And he no-hits you into the eighth inning. That would have been bad enough. Getting no-hit by Sonny Gray would have been an embarrassment of all embarrassments. This guy's been a really good pitcher in this league for a long time, except for one place. Now he's at one of your chief rivals, and he no-hits you to complete a four-game sweep. Would have been one of the most embarrassing losses I can ever remember in the regular season for the Yankees. But they said, hold on a second, we can actually make this worse. Because Willier Abreu and the Boston Red Sox in the ninth inning, with old friend Aroldis Chapman on the mound, another one, said, we're going to give you a pity win here. We're not going anywhere this year. You guys have designs on going to the postseason winning a title. We'll give you a pity win. Instead, the Yankees hand the game right to the Boston Red Sox on Sunday night. They get the two runs in the ninth. They get the two runs in the tenth. It's 4-2 going into the tenth inning. Fernando Cruz is on the mound. And what I love Fernando Cruz. I really love his guts out there. And even today, he really showed up in the 10th inning. Runner at third, one out. The splitter was splitting. But when it don't split, he's as hittable as any pitcher in baseball. And he didn't have it. He didn't have the splitter. And now it's one out. Runner at third. You're already giving up the lead. It's 4-4. Left-handed batter and Jarren Duran coming up. We're going to bring in a left-hander, right? You got fucking Tim Hill in the bullpen. You bring in five infielders because you want to induce the ground ball. What does he do? He leaves Fernando Cruz, he being Aaron Boone. Okay, I think you all know that, but let's put it out there. He being Aaron Boone leaves Fernando Cruz in the game to throw another flat splitter that Jaron Duran puts into left field. Game over. Yankees are swept. You have to get to the next batter in that situation. You already gave up the lead. You have to keep the game going. You have to get to the next batter. You're bringing in five infielders. You want a ground ball. You have a lefty coming up. You have a lefty specialist who excels in getting ground balls, and you leave him in the bullpen to throw another for Fernando Cruz to throw another disgustingly flat splitter.
Listeners, I want to tell you about a new podcast from Odyssey called Family Lore, where people tell interesting stories about their family history, and then we investigate the truth behind them. Family Lore is available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
You worry about the batter after Duran when you get Duran. I don't care that he was Rafael. I believe it was Rafael, regardless, or it might have been a Abreu. Regardless, it doesn't matter. It was a right-hander. Abreu was left-handed. I think it was Rafael then Abreu, if I remember correctly. But it doesn't matter who's after Duran. You have to get the batter. You have to get Duran. Keep the game going. No, but the infinite genius of Aaron Boone decided that it was time to lose the game right there. And then after the game, it's a big friggin' joke to Aaron Boone. He said, "We live for this. It's like a sickness." Now, I've been on this show 100 times and have said that my fandom for the Yankees is like a sickness, because no matter what they do, no matter how much agita they cause me, I'm going to be there 7:05 every single night watching this baseball team play. And Friday night, I'm going to be there hoping that it's not 8. That's my sickness. Your sickness is that you are a terrible manager that is just enabled by the fact that the general manager and owner do not want to stop this. There is a cure for the disease that is Aaron Boone. Brian Cashman has the antidote. Hal Steinbrenner has the antidote. Nobody wants to give the Yankees the antidote. We live for this. You just got swept by a last place team, and you're saying that we live for this? What exactly does that mean, that you live for this? Okay? You live to get embarrassed? You live to have a $350 million payroll that you're looking at another wild card appearance here? You live for falling completely on your face every single June? Where if you don't build up these Aprils and May, that the way that the Yankees do, that it might actually be a really troublesome situation here? That's what you live for? To be the laughingstock of an entire fan base? That's what you live for. You live for a guy that couldn't wait to get out of here, a guy that your general manager couldn't wait to get rid of, embarrassing you on national television. That's what you live for. Okay. Good to know. Good to know. Ryan Weathers got smacked around on Monday. Hey, I don't have much to say there. Shit happens. And then shit really happens. I had such a day on Tuesday. Because Friday is technically the holiday, was out from 7 to 7:30 a.m. to p.m. on Tuesday. All I wanted to do was come home and watch the Yankees. You had a prime time pitching matchup in Cam Schlittler versus Tarik Skubal. And before I even got in the car to get home, Cam Schlittler has given up 2 home runs to the Tigers. Before I'm even home, it's 4-1. Ben Rice got a home run somewhere in there. He gives up 6 runs overall. I mean, what are you going to do? This is what you're talking about here, saying sometimes your pitchers are going to get hit. Even the best of them get hit. He was, yeah, I mean, Cam Sluller is still the favorite for the Cy Young in the American League this year, Tuesday night notwithstanding. It happens. It can't happen after you lost five consecutive games. The timing of it was extremely poor. They lose. Then we come to today. Listening to Dave and Susan in the car for the first half of this game, they were saying that Tigers people are telling him that the kid that pitched today is actually the second best pitcher on the staff behind Skubal. And we saw how Casey Mize shoved on Monday. And Casey Mize is a really good pitcher. So naturally what happens, the Yankees are shut out through eight innings. Although they didn't have to be shut out through eight innings. And Will Warren pitched really well today. He got into the sixth, only allowing two runs. Again, should not be a death sentence. You get Will Warren in the sixth inning giving up only two runs. That's a game you should win 100% of the time. Not these Yankees. They finally get a little bit of a rally going here in the eighth inning. I hate it, hate it, hate it. And I'll say it again. Hate it, the bunt. You have Spencer Jones at second base. You have Jose Caballero at first. First and second, nobody out. It was your first rally of the game. I understand the logic that you want to get second and third, nobody with one out, put two runners in scoring position with Ben Rice up. Fine. Okay, I get that. Okay, listen, I get that. But you have two very good base runners, two fast base runners on there. You do not need to give the Tigers a free out when they're feeling pressure for the first time all day. You gave them an out. And what happens next is something that just absolutely can't happen. Ben Rice cannot go down swinging through a fastball dead center in the middle of the plate. Can't happen. You got honestly, an 0-2 cookie, and you missed it. Swung right through it. That cannot happen. And then just to show you what the Yankees are dealing with right now, Jason Dominguez scolds one 107 miles an hour. Center fielder catches it. And if you look, go back and look at that. It looked like that ball had like a second life where it looked like it was going to drop. And then it just seemed like it took off one split second to get to the center fielder. The baseball gods are not smiling upon the Yankees right now. But I know it's Oswaldo Cabrera, but you don't have to go to keep Oswaldo Cabrera in the game right there. You don't have to do that. Or lefty, get the runners in motion with two good base runners like Cabby and Jones. Get them in motion and hope that, or get Cabrera a little hit and run, even though it usually do that with a runner at first. You know, I really wanted to do it there. Get the lefty to pull the ball, at least get him to pull the ball, get the runners in motion, help he pulls the ball in the hole. Now you're really set up, and you don't give that. Even if he grounds out and you get the runners over, you don't hand them the out. That's what the Yankees did there. They walk away with nothing. Ahmed Rosario with the home run, and you're like, oh, this is just going to be cosmetic. But then Josh Chisholm did a thing here. And you wonder why every chance I get on this show, on the Bronx or Nowhere, on X, at Christian_NYYST, I say, this guy, Jazz Chisholm, has to stop swinging for the fences. This is a guy, if he just tries to get on base, can be a game changer. He beats out the ground ball. Steals second base, steals third base, scores on a wild pitch. Yankees tie the game. That's the Jazz Chisholm that is a valuable asset to the New York Yankees. That's a guy that will help you win games in October. not the guy that thinks he's going to hit 50 home runs and is going to fall way, way short of that this year. A Jazz Chisholm that gets on base and uses his speed to score runs is an elite baseball player. The Jazz Chisholm that thinks he's Barry Bonds sucks at baseball. Okay? You want me to put a little bit more eloquently than that? I don't want to, because when he thinks that he's going to go out there and tank him 450 every friggin' time, he's terrible. When he gets on base and uses that speed and athleticism he has, he's great. That's a guy that I want on this team. But he's not. He has really almost no interest in being that guy. And somebody should have said to him, do you see what happened today? We are struggling to score runs. You created one all by yourself. Tenth inning, by some miracle, the New York Yankees get out of it after Cruz bounces a splitter. Runner at third with one out. He gets out of it. Now the Yankees have a runner at third with one out. And here's Oswaldo Cabrera. I love Oswaldo Cabrera, man. I really do. I hate ripping on him, but I think kind of all know what Oswaldo Cabrera is. He's a good depth piece for this team. He's not a guy I ever like seeing start. He's a fill-in guy. He's a team guy. I'm so happy that he's back, because after that injury last year, you just never know. And he finally got his chance here with McMahon getting sick. But you have Paul Goldschmidt sitting on the bench, and Aaron Boone tells the media after the game, I believe in Oswaldo. I believe he can hit a fly ball. Except he strikes out. And you have a veteran who is an expert in scoring runs in that situation, sitting on the bench. I don't want to hear one peep about platoon situation, righty-righty versus left. I don't care. You have to put the best player up in that spot and win the game. You're on a six-game losing streak, and you're leaving Paul Goldschmidt on the bench. Now, the Yankees had food poisoning running through this team, and Spencer Jones came in late, but he couldn't start because he had to get an IV. McMahon was supposed to start an rehab assignment today. He couldn't because he was sick. There was other guys dealing with shit, but they had to play, or else they wouldn't. Paul Goldschmidt was fine. And Aaron Boone made the conscious decision to leave him on the bench when they could have won a baseball game right there and snapped a six-game losing streak. Nope. I believe in Oswaldo. I believe you should be fired. You can't leave Paul Goldschmidt on the bench there. What are we doing? Then naturally, what happens? Camille Duvall happens in the 11th inning. It went from two outs, 0-2 on the batter, to four runs scoring. I have never seen somebody go from looking completely unhittable to being the biggest fucking mess in the history of humanity faster than Camille Duvall does. Never seen it before. I don't think I'll ever see it again. 102 mile an hour cutters, that 99 mile an hour sinker. And then all of a sudden, it's like he's made of just, I don't know. It's like it just goes so fast. 0-2, two outs, no runs in, to a 6-2 loss. That fast. That fast it happened. And the Yankees are on a seven-game losing streak and are, depending on what the Rays do, Yeah, the Yankees are on a 7-game losing streak, and the Rays are on a 6-game winning streak. So the Rays picked a hell of a time here to get hot. They completely flipped this division in a week because the Yankees just couldn't get out of their own way. So Thursday night in Boston, Sunday night in Boston, today in the Bronx. Those are three games the Yankees should have won and walked away with. And at least, you know what? You're 3-4 over your last seven. You don't love it, but you got three wins. The sky isn't falling. The roof isn't caving in. You're playing close to 500. I said you just got to play 500 baseball while Aaron Judge is out. And you would have been in that realm there, going 3-4 over the last seven. But instead you go 0-7 because you hand it the Red Sox 2, and you handed the Tigers 1. So you cannot have that happen while you're going through this situation that they're going through right now. And I think I read this correctly, that the Yankees have allowed 17 earned runs unearned and only scored 7 during the they have allowed 17 unearned runs and scored 17 runs during this stretch. Well, that's not a recipe for winning baseball games. Allowing as many unearned runs as runs you scored. I'm telling you right now, I don't want to hear anybody ever slander the name of Aaron Judge ever again on social media, behind a podcast mic, in front of me, and it just even in the same state that I'm in, mentally or physically. Because I have never seen a baseball team fall apart the way the New York Yankees fall apart the way they do when Aaron Judge is not in the lineup. Anybody that ever wants to sit there and make the argument that this man is not the MVP, look at what is happening to the New York Yankees right now. Look at what happened to the New York Yankees in 2023. There's a reason. It's actually not a coincidence, I should say, that the Yankees have endured 2 7-game losing streaks. And I believe the one in 2023 was even longer. When Aaron Judge was on the injured list. And you can say that this team is better, it's deeper, it's younger. They still cannot survive without Superman. I love Cody Bellinger. You guys know that. I wanted him back. I was ecstatic when he came back. What's he up to, 0-22 right now? You cannot. If you're Cody Bellinger, you cannot be in the middle of an 0-22 while the Yankees are on a 7-game losing streak. Desperate to score runs without Aaron Judge in this lineup. You want to take an 0-22 with Aaron Judge in the lineup? You can. People probably wouldn't even pay attention to it. You are being paid to be the number two in this lineup. Let's be honest here. And I can be honest. I love Cody, but I'll be honest right now. He is killing this team. You cannot be riding an 0-22 or 21, whatever it is right now, while Aaron Judge is out and this team hasn't won in a friggin' week. You have to come up with a hit. You have to do something, Cody. And I know you've still been, you know, I know there was one play, but other than that, he's still been really good out in left field. No one's denying that. Ben Rice a little bit has broken out of the slump here in the last day or two with the home run against Skubal on Tuesday, and then he had a single to lead off the game today. So he's got a couple of hits, but he's in like a whatever the hell he's in. Anthony Volpe's in another one of these fucking slumps that he's always in. I mean, it's all happening at once, but you are looking at Cody Bellinger and saying, Cody, come on, dude. You're the guy that has to be above this right now. There's three guys, really, and I'm taking Paul Goldschmidt out of this because Paul Goldschmidt is being forced into a situation to play more than he needs to or should based on the injuries to Stanton, Judge, and Grisham, right? But there's three guys right now that all have to be on their A game. Cody Bellinger, Ben Rice, and Jazz Chisholm. They all have to be the supreme best of themselves right now, and they're not even anywhere close to it. This is the worst stretch we've probably seen from Cody Bellinger in a year and a half he's been here. This is one of the worst stretches we've seen out of Ben Rice since he's been here, and Jazz Chisholm is just having a friggin' awful, awful season. If those guys are playing anywhere near the back of their baseball cards, the Yankees are not in the dire situation that they are in right now. And it just sucks that you're dealing with Ryan Weathers, a bad start, and then you're hoping that Cam goes out there and shoves, and he just picked the wrong time to have his worst start of the season. And it's not a knock on Cam. I mean, I'm not mad at him. I'm just disappointed that it happened when the Yankees needed it. Like they just needed him to go out there and shove for seven innings and not be out of the game in the third inning. But when you're going through this, everything is going wrong all at the same time. Usually you say, oh, well, when you're hot offensively, the pitching is bad. And then when the pitching is hot, the offense is bad. Nothing is working right now. And they actually got a really good start out of Will Warren today, and they didn't score till the ninth inning.
The Recap Show is an inside look for fans into the world of global soccer, women's sports, and all things gal culture.
From the inside perspective of two World Cup champions and Olympians.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
The Minnesota Twins are coming into town here. If that's not a cure-all for the New York Yankees, I don't know what is. If the Yankees lose a series to the Twins, I'm coming on here Sunday and I'm throw the damn towel. You remember they yelled at Rocky to throw the towel? I probably am throwing the towel in on this season on Sunday if the Yankees do not win this series against the Twins. As we sit here on July 1st with the Yankees down 5 games in the East while still holding a 4-game lead for the top wild card and 7 games overall for the postseason, I am not worried in the slightest that they are not going to make the playoffs. I'm not right now. But if they don't beat the Twins, I mean, you got to ask these questions here. And I think that getting Trent Grisham back is going to really help this team. And I think you all know my feelings on Trent Grisham. I didn't want him back. It's really for the $22 million, I didn't want him back. If the Yankees would have signed him for like a 2-for-22 or 2-for-25, I would have been like, okay. I don't love it. I don't hate it. But 2-for-25, spread it out a little bit. I'm paying him, you know, $10, $11, $12 million a year is a lot better than handing him 22. But the Yankees, when he got hurt, it's like they were fine without Stanton. They were managing without Judge. And Grisham just happened to be that Jenga piece that when you pulled it, the whole tower fell over. And he's going to be back either Friday or Saturday, and the Yankees really need him. And I'll tell you this right now. You look at the roster, and you look in, what do you do here? What do you do when Trent Grisham comes back? And as much as I like Oswaldo Cabrera, he's got to get sent down. I would keep Spencer Jones up here. He's had some really good at-bats since he's been back. The second time around. Still strikes out a ton. We know that. Yeah, bats have been better. He had a hit today when he came in. That got that rally going in the eighth inning. He's good defensively. He's good on the bases. I mean, I see value in keeping Spencer Jones here right now. And, you know, you have Schumann, and, you know, McMahon's going to be coming back. What do you need? I hate, you know, you don't want to be mean about it to a guy like Oswaldo Cabrera. What do you need him for? And then you, and then McMahon should be back shortly too. And then it's like, do you pull the plug on Jones then? I mean, you might have to at that point. So this might be only be like a day or two type thing here, but I don't know. I look at a guy like Spencer Jones as somebody that is part of the solution right now, as opposed to being part of the problem. The Yankees have to get a better defensive mindset out there, meaning play your best guys in the defense, in their best defensive positions. I mean, Caballero playing center field, Schumann playing center field. It's not how you win baseball games. And, you know, sometimes Jones has been on the bench with a lefty. You're not scoring anyway. This team is not hitting anyway, so you might as well play your best defensive outfield and get Anthony Volpe the hell out of here. I'm not picking on him, but the guy's lost 2 miles an hour off his arm speed, off his throws from last year. And you can see how it's affecting the Yankees and their inability to turn double plays because he doesn't have the arm strength to get it over there. He's in another one of his slumps. I mean, you're going to have McMahon, you're going to have Cabby, you're going to have Rosario. I mean, do you really need Anthony Volpe on here? The team was winning and playing good defense with Jose Caballero at shortstop. Jose Caballero was better overall hitting and defensively when he was just a shortstop every night and they weren't moving him around to 18 different positions. So I would say that's probably in the Yankees' best interest right now. Are they going to do that to Volpe again? Probably not. Oh, and Aaron, by the way, of all the low IQ things that you said, I wanted to not say a really bad word there this past week. I think the lowest of the low IQ things you said is when you said Austin after Saturday, or after Saturday's game. Yeah, after Saturday's game. You said that Austin Wells is actually moving the needle. Okay? Austin Wells is actually moving the needle. So on after Saturday's game, okay, let's look this up here. Okay. So after Saturday's game, Austin and Aaron Boone actually sat there with a straight face and told you that Austin Wells was moving the needle. Now remember that. Okay. Austin Wells had an OPS of 510. Now fast forward a couple days here. Austin Wells has an OPS of 488. Austin Wells has lost 22 points off his OPS since Aaron Boone said he was moving the needle. And I got really excited on Bronx or Nowhere on Saturday. So you can actually go to my TikTok, Christian.NYYST, and see the full rant, or go over to NYYU from the show on Saturday and see the full rant there. But the only thing Austin Wells is moving the needle towards is the unemployment line and no longer being a starting catcher or a catcher at all in Major League Baseball. He's hitting 153 with an OPS of 488. This dude is unplayable, and the manager is telling the media that he's moving the needle. I don't care what he frames. I don't care how much the pitchers love him. You cannot send up a guy every day with a 488 OPS. That just cannot happen. The guy has 170 at-bats this year with a 488 on base plus slugging. Okay? 488. I had numerous strokes over Anthony Volpe having a 650 OPS. And Austin Wells is currently having an OPS that is 160 points lower than Anthony Volpe. And Aaron Boone sat there and told you he is moving the needle. This is the manager of the New York Yankees, that they're going through a 7-game losing streak, and he's telling you that his catcher with an OPS of 488 is moving the needle. This is your manager of the New York Yankees while they're going through a 7-game losing streak that says he lives for this. This is the manager of the New York Yankees with an opportunity to end that 7-game losing streak today, leaves Paul Goldschmidt on the bench in the 10th inning in a run scoring situation. That's the manager. Every year, like clockwork, the Boone swoon hits. It's not funny. It's not something that people are just joking about anymore. It happened. And everybody said, oh, look, it's not happening this year. And it happened harder than it's ever happened before. That's the manager. And you got to listen to Dave and Susan today say, well, they don't, it's a different game. You know, this is Aaron's personality, and they don't tip over a table. Maybe you should tip over a table. Maybe you should show a little bit of emotion here. You are supposed to be the leader of men, the 26 men that wear that uniform. You're supposed to be the leader of them. And we wonder why the Yankees come up small in the biggest moments, because this fucking clown, this bubble-blowing buffoon, can't get out of his own way with the things that he says and the things that he does. 7-game losing streak. Leaves Tim Hill in the bullpen with a lefty up there while you are looking to get a ground ball because you bring in 5 infielders. Nope, not Aaron Boone. Tells you the catcher with a 488 OPS is moving the needle as if he's doing something special at the plate. That's your manager. You have a guy who's been driving in runs for a decade and is specialized in being in those situations with a chance to end it. End all the misery. At least go into an off day where they had their family picnic today. What a grand old time that must have been. Could have ended it. Nope. You believe in Oswaldo? Right. He lives for this. Remember that. He lives for this. Well, hopefully you are living to see another day as a Yankee fan, meaning that you haven't climbed to the top of the Empire State Building to hang a flag or something else. Okay. But Yankees are off tomorrow, finally an off day for them. If they would have played poorly towards the end of the stretch after not having an off day for what? It's been 16 games, right? Three, six, 16 straight days they played without an off day. I mean, so if they had stubbed their toe a little bit here at the end, you'd be like, okay, you know, 16 straight days without an off day, fine. Seven straight. And they're all to last place. Well, now the Tigers aren't in last place. You want to know why? Because they beat the Yankees 3 in a row, and that the Kansas City Royals have decided to play patsy to the Rays. But Aaron Boone lives for this. Remember that. He lives for this. Not winning baseball games. Not making smart managerial decisions. Not hoisting up a trophy down the Canyon of Heroes. He lives for this. This is what he lives for. So we got Gerrit Cole on the mound on Friday night against Mike Paredes. Like, come on, can we please win this game? Gerrit Cole at home against a guy with a 4.26 ERA. No, Cole's ERA is not great, 4.06. But come on. Trent Grisham should be back. It's going to be 100 degrees out. Can we please score some runs and at least get Gerrit Cole? And Gerrit, just chill with the home runs, please. I love you, buddy, but chill with the home runs. And can we please win a baseball game? There's going to be fireworks after the game for the 4th of July, celebrating America's 258th anniversary. Can we celebrate a fucking victory, for Christ's sake, here? And then on the 4th of July, a 1:35 start, you got Carlos Rodon taking on Zebby Matthews. Again, this is a guy, 4-15. Rodon actually pitched really well until things kind of got away from him a little bit on Sunday. But still, he gave up two runs. Again, should not be a death sentence. But somehow it turned when the Yankee pitcher. I was in the middle of something. When the game started, checked my phone, saw 1-0. I felt like somebody hit me in the face with an anvil. I'm like, it's over. You give up one run in the third inning and you. I hate having this feeling that you give up one run in the third inning and you think the game is over. That's where the Yankees are right now. It's the worst feeling possible as a fan. And then to close out the series, this is actually the Yankees' final home game of the first half of the season, because then they go on the road for seven before the All-Star break. 1:35, Joe Ryan against David Weathers. I haven't done it in a while. Ryan Weathers. So, I mean, you got Joe Ryan on the mound on Sunday. It's imperative that you take the first two in this series. You cannot be going up against against Ryan, God forbid, facing a sweep or looking to win that series. Please win. Please, 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 for my mental sanity, for all our mental sanities here, for the fate of humanity, please win the first two games of this series. Please. The last thing I want to do on a holiday weekend is listen to Michael Kay make every pitch out to be like humanity is at stake, which is what he was doing at the end of the game today. Every pitch, I hate when he gets in that mode. We know they're fucking terrible right now. We all want them to win. But guess what? They lost. I'm still here. I still have to go to work tomorrow. I still have to earn a living and put food on the table. Them losing did not change that. If you listen to Michael Kay, the dramatics. Chill out, bro. Please. We all know. We get it. And what we'd love to get here at NYYST is you guys leaving us a 5-star rating and review on your favorite podcast platform. The one that you're listening to me on right now, actually. Okay? This is the final season of NYYST. We only have two scheduled shows here in the month of July, but because the Yankees decided that they were going to go on a 7-game losing streak, we snuck one in here. And that's why you got to be subscribed, because you just never know when a new show might drop. But we will be back Sunday for Monday release after the Twin Series. And like I said, I'd love to hear from everybody on the way out. So please leave us a 5-star rating review. Click subscribe. Also subscribe to NYY Underground. The Bronx or Nowhere will be back later tonight. Brand new episode live. So subscribe there if you want to hear more of my thoughts on how fucking terrible this team is at the moment, alongside with my co-host Kevin Cruz, okay? And don't forget to tell everybody, NYYST is the official Yankee podcast of Odyssey. We love you guys so much, and we appreciate you joining us. I hate this team right now. I love you, but I hate you. The Yankees. I love everybody that's listening to me right now. Thank you so much for your continued support of the show. This is the final season of NYYST. Hopefully, the Yankees turn it around. We don't end this show earlier than we wanted to. But we're ending the show now. Thank you very much for listening to episode 534. I'll see you next time.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, real people tell their stories live on stage. I burst into tears. And I wasn't sure if I was crying because I hadn't been kissed in a really long time or if I had just never been kissed like that before.
To hear fascinating, heartbreaking, and sometimes hilarious stories from astronauts, teachers, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.